good to see everybody out this evening, come back together to study the Word of God and to, once again, encourage everybody to start the week off in the correct manner, to continue to follow faithfully in the Word of God, to help one another to understand and to know the truth of which He has blessed us with. In every lesson, at the end of the lesson, we extend the Lord's invitation. And within that, we always make mention, of course, of being baptized into Christ. And throughout a lot of the lessons, we might refer to the baptism and lessons I present that kind of talk in the manner of it and different points of it. But tonight, I just want to take a short few minutes to look at just baptism, just to take a short few minutes to look at a few verses, and truly just to look at the Word of God and baptism in itself, and to see what it is exactly that baptism does for us, what it does for you if you were to choose to obey the gospel. You know, this morning in the adult class, as we finished studying the qualification of apt to teach for elders, that they are capable of teaching. One of the points we kind of brought out was even those who are babes in Christ should be able to at least somewhat explain why they obeyed the gospel. There's a reason that they have come forward and chosen to be baptized. And therefore, it is one of the first things that you might come to an understanding of, one of the first things that we come to an understanding of as we become a Christian, because you've chosen to do it. First, I want to start off just simply looking at a definition, looking at the definition of baptism, baptized. And to understand that if we were to go back to the Greek word baptizo, that it really, the Greek word in itself, is not a huge significant word. The Greek word in itself just meant immersion, or to be immersed, to cleanse, by submersion. To wash, to make clean with water, to bathe. And literally, that's what the Greek word would go forth and mean. And when they translated it into English, into a word that we could use, there wasn't really a translation other than immersion that would have been a fine translation to use as we read the different scriptures that bring out baptism or baptized. To be immersed or immersion, and it would be correctly translated. But instead, we've made it into a new word, and to the point, making it more religious, making it more holy to an extent, making it into a word that we only really use when we're speaking about religion. And I just want to bring that point out because in a manner that many get caught up in thinking that there has to be something significant that happens, that there needs to be this great thing that takes place. And yet what God has told us to do, as we're going to point out this evening, is that He simply commanded you to be immersed in the water to wash away your sins, so that your sins will be forgiven. That's what the word means. I've been told, I haven't been overseas, but I've been told if you go back to this area, that if you bring up the word, they're straightforward to tell you, oh yeah, that's all it means. They understand that it's just immersion is what it means. But many get caught up in thinking that there's got to be a great thing. But understand, since God is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and He could have asked anything from you, but how lucky we are that He's made it truly this simple task to just show your faith in Him and do what He's told you to do. So if you will, at this time, open your Bibles and follow along as we look at a few verses that tell us and show us exactly what baptism does for us. You start with me in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2. And then in verse 38, here, as Peter and the apostles preach and they're teaching a great crowd, since there was around 3,000 that have obeyed, and we're not sure how many didn't, that was there amongst them that heard the preaching. And as they listened to what was said, and they were told in verse 37, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" So here in this verse, as we look at it, it brings out that one, they asked, "What shall we do?" Making it clear that it's something that needed to be done, had to be done, needs to be done today. They were told to be immersed, but not just to be baptized, but to be baptized in the name of Christ, realizing that that's who we are baptized into. And we'll get more into being baptized into Christ here with some other verses here in a bit. But it says, for the remission of sins. That's what baptism is doing for you. With our faith in Christ Jesus, our faith in God, and being baptized, it gives you the remission of sins. And I think we need to make sure we understand what remission means. That it comes into the point that it is giving you that freedom, that it is delivering you out of sin, that it delivers you out of that bondage of sin, that slavery of sin. It is a forgiveness of what you owe, because you have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. And so therefore, when you are baptized, it gives you that forgiveness. That's what baptism does for you. That's when you are baptized into Christ, you receive remission of sins. You're accepting that Jesus paid the price. He's giving you the remission of sins if we're willing to accept it. If we're willing to be baptized into Christ. In other words, as we turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, I got the wrong chapter there. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. Here it says, "There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Now see, if we didn't understand the actual definition of baptism from the Greek word, we may not understand why he's making that point of not the washing away of filth of the flesh. Because technically the word that they used when they spoke of this was the same thing that they get to be saying, "Hey, go take a bath." They're speaking to their kids. But there's more significance in it because they're speaking about doing this in the name of the Lord. They're doing this through what? At the end of it says, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's a reason other than that you stink, but that there is a sin in your life. There is sin in your life, a spiritual stink that needs to be washed off. And so we are baptized into Christ to be saved. And we are confirmed to that in Mark 16 and verse 16, where it says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned." So once again, this baptism is with the faith, with the belief of who Jesus is, of what Jesus has done, that he was lived a life upon this earth, that he died, that he resurrected and ascended up into heaven. That we believe that. And we believe that he, through the Holy Spirit, through the apostles, taught and commands us that we must be baptized to be saved. This is where our salvation is. It's in our faith as we are baptized into Christ. There's a reason that we teach it. There's a reason that we extend the Lord's invitation to be baptized every time we gather together. It's because that is where our salvation lies. It's not just in some water that we fill this tub up, but it's through your faith in Christ as you are being baptized, that you believe that He will keep His word that He has given to you to wash away your sins, to give you remission of sins. That's why we turn to the Word of God. That's why we need to be studying these things. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, again here, speaking of water, speaking of washing, but here in a spiritual wash. Acts 22 and verse 16, as Paul was commanded to obey, and as he is remembering and retelling what had happened, and as he, had, of course, was on his way to Damascus, and the Lord appeared unto him, and then he had to continue that journey blind, as he waited for Ananias to come to him. And when he did come to him, he said, "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Once again, it's not just that this is a great, miraculous thing one does when they're dunked in water. It really applies to your faith when you are dunked in that water. Here, when it says calling on the name of the Lord, it's not that Paul was just saying, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God," and he was saved. It wasn't him saying, "Lord, Lord," and he was saved. We know from Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But those who do, those who obey." And so when we call on the name of the Lord, he's calling on someone to wash his wet sins away. Someone to do something he cannot do. As Peter was sinking in the water, when he walked on the water and he started to sink, he called on the name of the Lord to save him. And so when we are being baptized, that is when we are calling on the name of the Lord to wash away our sins. Because understand, you are not washing your sins away. Just because you chose to come forth, just because you are being dumped in that water, you're not the one washing the sins away. I'm not the one washing your sins away. Whoever it is that stands in there with you and helps you go into the water and brings you back up, they're not the ones that wash your sins. Christ, His blood, is what washes your sin away through our faith. That's why we can go back to Mark 16:16 and say, "He that believeth not shall be condemned." Because if you don't believe in Christ, if you don't believe in what is taking place, if you don't believe that He will wash your sins away, once again, that baptism isn't going to do it. You have to have faith. You must believe these things. But this is what it does when you do believe. When you have faith. When you choose to obey the Word of God. Turn along with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And I want to read a few verses here, starting there and in verse 1. Romans chapter 6 and starting there in verse 1. Here it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" Or understand, something has changed. Something is different. What? How do I know that? Because he said, "Should we continue?" Meaning, we should stop. Because he says, "Certainly not." How can we who died to sin? That's what baptism does for us. It puts to death that life of sin. It puts to death that person of sin. Read along in verse 3. It says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death?" How does it do that? How do we put to death the old man? How do we put to death the person of sin? Because when you are buried, when you are immersed in that water, completely covered, and through your faith, you enter into the death
of Christ. You are being buried as Christ was buried. And as you pick up with me here in verse 4, it says, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. What does baptism do? You talk about getting a new opportunity, a second chance. Here's the second chance. You become a new person. You become completely clean. You become spotless. You are buried with Christ and you are raised with Christ. Becoming a new person. So much that you gain a new title. You become a Christian. You become into a new family. You become part of the family of God, being able to call our God Father. You've received a spirit of adoption. We are so blessed to have this opportunity. Understanding that baptism makes us new. Continue to read here. In verse 6, it says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. From now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Once again, here it brings out, it tells us and shows us what baptism does for you. Take that. Obey it so that he can forgive your sins, so that he can make you whole and complete. In Galatians chapter 3, in verse 27. Galatians chapter 3. And in verse 27. It reads and says here, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When we are baptized into him, we talk about being buried with him, being raised with him. And now you have put on Christ. You've taken his title. You are a follower of Christ. You are an heir with Christ. You've put on Christ. You've taken his light and put it on. Now you shine as Christ shines through you. This is what baptism does for us. It's what it can do for you if you've yet to obey. Also adds you to his kingdom, as we brought out, adds you to his family. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, here's where we can see this taking place. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13 says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, all have been made to drink into one Spirit. Here it says, we were baptized into one body. And the body is the church. As we read in Acts chapter 2, if you turn back there, we read in verse 38 that you were baptized for the remission of your sins to be saved. And then you read the last verse there in Acts chapter 2, verse 47. And it says there, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. This is his spiritual church. That doesn't mean this local congregation, but the Lord's church, the Lord's family, Christ's body. You are added to that when you are saved. And we are saved when we are baptized into Christ. This is what baptism does for you. It washes away your sins. It gives you a second chance. It makes you whole. I want to bring out a couple points on what it does not do before we end the lesson this evening. Understanding that when you obey the gospel, it does not mean that you will no longer be tempted anymore. It does not mean that you won't struggle with giving into sin any longer. If you haven't obeyed the gospel and you have this mindset, ask anyone who has been a Christian for years. They'll tell you that they still have temptations that they have to face from day to day. There are still struggles. The thing is that actually when you obey the gospel, now you've given Satan another task. Because before you obey the gospel, you're in his territory. He don't mind if you stay right where you're at the rest of your life as long as you don't obey. But once you obey, now he's got to get you to come back to his side. Cross over that fence one more time. Just because you obey the gospel does not mean that life is just going to be a simple, easy task. In fact, we're told in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, that it will be difficult. That you're choosing to go down a difficult path. A narrow and difficult, hard path that few find. Just because you obey the gospel, just because you get baptized into Christ, it doesn't mean that you're going to get along with everybody. In fact, we're warned that just because the world hates us, don't forget that it hated Christ first. Jesus making it plain and clear that the world did not like him, did not like his teachings. If you're going to follow him, then that's what's going to come to you. Now, we're supposed to live peacefully as much as possible. It depends on me. Depends on you to live peacefully with all. Doesn't mean it's always going to be possible. So what does it mean? What do we get as we are baptized? As it brings out in Galatians 3, verse 27, it means we've put on Christ. That means we have Christ on our side. It means as we live from this day forward, we can rely on Christ to strengthen us. Philippians 4, verse 13. We can go to him in prayer. We can go to him and gain strength through our Lord and Savior. With Christ on our side, it means we can go to our God for wisdom, as we read in James chapter 1 and verse 5, where it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask. Go to God in prayer. He will give it. He's ready to answer us. He's ready to be there for you. What do we gain as we obey the gospel? Well, as it's put in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? If we have the Lord on our side, if we have obeyed the gospel, and we've put on Christ, we've become children of God, heirs with Christ, then understand, what does it matter if the world's against us? Because we have God on our side. Baptism does everything for us. It washes away your sins. It makes you complete. It adds you to an eternal kingdom that is already destined to win, is already won because Christ died for us. We have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And so we extend the Lord's invitation once more as we've been granted the opportunity to do so. If you are here this evening and you have not yet obeyed the gospel, you have not yet been baptized into Christ, we want to encourage you to do that. If you understand what it does for you and you understand why you need to do it, we encourage you to not delay any longer, but come forward and let me know as we stand and sing.
Make me